I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because all that the Lord has done for us, and the great favor to the house of Israel, that he has shown them according to his mercy, according to the abundance of his steadfast love. For God said, surely they are my people, children who will not deal falsely. And he became their savior and their distress. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. In his love and his pity, he redeemed them. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. So I'm going to read again the first part of verse 7, and I ask you to join with me in actually reading it twice and think about what you're saying and read it with emphasis. I will recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all the Lord has done for us. Stop. Okay, let's read it again, just halfway through the first verse. I will recount the glorious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because all the Lord has done for us. Blessings, Randy.
Thank you, Chris. It's good to be together this morning. This week, I've been doing a lot of stepping because my wife got me a Fitbit for Christmas. And so I thought, you know, New Year's Day, January 1, no better way to start off a sermon than to know for sure how many steps it is around this sanctuary. So I'll be right back. Okay, it looks like that's right around 100. Good. Okay, and now my heart beats at 150. Okay, I was really excited about doing that, so thank you. Looking back and stepping forward, 2017. So, like I said, I've been tracking my steps, and the cool thing about the Fitbit is that you have an app, and you can actually look back over the past week and, you know, see all of your stats. So I know that, you know, on Tuesday, I had 14,000 steps. The Fitbit Heart Association recommends getting 10,000 steps a day. And I remember back to Donna's presentation on health and wellness and staying active. And the thing that really stuck with me from that time, Donna, was even more important than getting, you know, your 4-mile run in during the day is staying active throughout the day. And so one of the other things that this thing tracks is, did you get 250 steps or more in an hour? And so it will say, 7 out of your 9 hours, you got 250 or more steps. Now, why do I think that that's related to this morning? And this is kind of aside from the text, but I just think it's so cool. When I think about steps, I kind of see it as like habits of the Christian life, the habits and practices that we engage in the day. And the parallel that I see is that instead of just going for that 10-mile run once a week, you know, or in other words, that could relate to that one spiritual high once a week coming to church, the more healthier approach is to have some steps each hour throughout the day, throughout the week. It's not about just getting that long run in and then saying, I'm good to go. But it's about staying active throughout the day, throughout the week. And I thought just here in the beginning, thinking about habits and practices of formation, And that this is about throughout the week we engage in these practices of discipleship together. And so we come here and we read the word, we encourage one another, we fill ourselves up to go out through the week and continue to be the church one step at a time. And the thing about this Fitbit that I've also really enjoyed is that when I think about my goals going forward, I can't think about my goals without looking back to what I've done in the past. And so when I see that I had a day of only 6,000 steps yesterday, that encourages me that, okay, I want to try to do a little bit more tomorrow. But in order to look forward, I have to always be looking back into my past history. So I think you can see where this sermon's going. In order to take a step forward in 2017, we first need to remember to look back. To look back and remember. Remember God's love. Remember the story that we're a part of, the salvation story of Christ. We can't take a step forward without first remembering where we've come from. Maybe some of you have heard of Confucius. He says, he was a Chinese teacher from 479 BC. Teacher, editor, politician, philosopher. He says, study the past if you would define the future. And we're in this time of the year in January 1 where we often want to look back on the year-end issues from magazines, newspapers, television shows, relating to the past year's entertainment events, who has died. These things can inspire us to look back over our own lives as well. And maybe some of us are thinking about 2016 and are really glad 2016 is over and you're ready to move on to 2017. Or maybe some of you are saying, well, that was a really good year and I'd like to hold on to that a little bit longer. But we're asking these questions of remembering looking back. And this is usually followed by the question of, well, what does this new year hold for me, for us? And I want to ask the question, honestly, are you hopeful for 2017? Are you fearful? Are you determined to change something? And this is a word for us this morning, because on this first day of 2017, I think this is part of what God is asking us. Whether you're hopeful or fearful, unsure or pretty sure, God is saying, I'm with you. I've been with you. I will continue to be with you as you take one step at a time. Remember the story you're a part of. Don't forget to look back as you step forward. And so we cannot step forward without remembering who we are and who God is. A God that saved us, loved us, and is forming us into His likeness. We step forward in 2017 in that hope. And in the lectionary text this morning from Isaiah, we are encouraged again to look back before we take a step forward. The central theme in this Isaiah text is of thanksgiving. An appropriate word as we start the new year to give thanks. Taking a moment and celebrating the gracious deeds of God. And central to this song in Isaiah, and yes, I did say song, because these texts were often sung in community. Isn't that beautiful? Just as we sang this morning, imagine the people of God, Israel, singing these songs together of hope in the midst of distress. Central to this song of thanksgiving is this image of God's saving hand. speaking of God's great acts, of God's steadfast love, which are exemplified in their memories, of the stories that they've told over and over again with their children. They tell the story of how God saved them from their enemies as they were leaving slavery in Egypt. That's the central story that was always retold over and over, of God's saving act as they were saved from slavery in Egypt. And so this image of salvation and love and saving is deeply moving and vital in the time that this was written, that Isaiah wrote. He writes for a people who, after their return from exile, still have some doubts of if God will continue to save them. This audience that he's writing to consisted of people who desperately wanted to say, God is good, but did not always feel that it was all the time. But the encouragement is, as they look forward, even in some of their distress, to continue to look back, to recount the gracious deeds of the Lord, the praiseworthy acts of the Lord, because of all that the Lord has done for us. And so, Whitmer Heights, we recount the gracious deeds of God in 2016. And we say together, thank you. We give you praise, God, because of all that you have done for us. We say together, surely this is our God. God will not deal falsely with us. We say together, God has become our Savior, even in our distress. Verse 9. We say together that it's God's presence with us, Emmanuel, that saves us. That it's the fact that God chose not to reveal himself in some spiritual disembodiment. But no, God chose to reveal himself most fully in a material, human, flesh person, Jesus, who is also the Christ, God with us. We say together that God has carried us all the days of old. What does it mean in this text when it says God has become Savior? God has become Savior in verse 8. Thinking about that word a little bit. Maybe that word brings up some certain language for you, or childhood experience of what it means to have God as Savior and Lord. It's in our covenant. We desire Jesus to be Savior and Lord, to confess Jesus as Savior and Lord of our lives. And no better way to start 2017, January 1, than to say again, Jesus is Savior and Lord. One place to get a little bit more of an understanding of what it means that God is our Savior is to look in one of the other lectionary texts, where we read that Jesus is the great high priest. This is the lectionary text in Hebrews. Since therefore the children share flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared the same things, so that through death he might destroy the one who has the power of death, that is, the devil, and free those who all their lives were held in slavery by the fear of death. It is clear that he did not come to help angels, but the descendants of Abraham. Therefore, he had to become like his brothers and sisters in every respect, so that he might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the service of God, to make a sacrifice of atonement for the sins of the people. Because he himself was tested by what he suffered, he is able to help those who are being tested. That is one glimpse of what it means that God is our Savior. That God is the great high priest. And if you were in Sunday school a couple weeks ago, and actually I think the the class is still looking at what it means to have God as the great high priest. The beautiful thing in Jesus is this freedom. This freedom that we have relationship with God. If you look back into the Old Testament understanding of the great high priest, there is this place, the Holy of Holies, where only the great high priest could go. And so not everybody had access to that relationship with God. But as Jesus, the great high priest, we had this freedom to go there and to be present fully with God. It's not this place there, no entrance allowed, or do not enter anymore for fear of death. But no, the fear of death is gone. God has come to free us from that fear of death, because he is the great high priest in Christ. And so part of this image of Jesus as our Savior is not just that we are saved for some spiritual out of this earth world heaven. Yes, maybe that is an image that we take away here. It is an image that we take away that Jesus is Savior. But it's so much more than that too. Jesus is our Savior, and that's important for right now on this earth, because it means we can have relationship with God right now. And out of that relationship with God right now, it extends outward into our relationship with others. So it has everything to do with this life on this earth, because the kingdom of God is coming to this earth. We can't be tempted to always be looking to the life after now. And so knowing we have a Savior who loves us, who cares for us, with that in mind, with that story, looking back, we can take a step forward. And we take a step forward in mission. And what I mean by that is, we know that God is at work, even though we don't always know or see that. But we believe that God's calling us to be a part of that work, that mission. And so we take a step forward in that mission of reconciliation, in that mission of loving our neighbor as ourselves, in that mission of going to the Conestoga Valley Christian Community Service to share Christ's love. That's a part of God's mission that we take a step forward in. In the mission of forgiveness, in the mission of confessing our sins one to another, in the mission of reading Scripture together and asking, Holy Spirit, teach us how to be more faithful to you. That's the mission we step forward in. In the mission of acknowledging my insecurity and shame, in saying, God, you're still here, but I feel this insecurity right now. God wants us to be honest. Confess that. God's there in that even. So we take a step forward in that together. What do you do when you can't take a step, though? I'm not assuming that everybody's just able to keep stepping. Maybe physically, even, you can't step. Or emotionally, spiritually, it feels so hard to take the next step. It feels too hopeless. There are too many questions. There's too much mystery in this story for me. There's just too much I can't understand. I don't have enough faith right now to take the next step. Elizabeth Johnson uses the following powerful metaphor in her book, She Who Is, that captures this desire well. She says that if you found yourself at the bottom of a deep, dark pit with a broken arm, you desperately yearn for a Savior, God, who can come with a long ladder and a strong flashlight to haul you to safety. See, in that image there's nowhere to go in that pit. You can't step. It's impossible to get out. All you can hope for is God, our Savior, to come with a flashlight to haul you out. But let's be honest, it's really hard to acknowledge that it's hard to keep stepping when everyone around us just wants us to feel good. How are you doing? Can we really say not well? It's just automatically say, I'm doing pretty good. We've created a culture in church, and I'm not talking necessarily about Whitmer Heights, I'm just talking about church in general, where it's not easy to be vulnerable sometimes. Where it's not easy to say, you know, honestly, I'm really struggling. I'm really struggling right now, and I just need you to hear that. You can't fix it. I'm not asking you to fix it, but just hear that. It's pretty hard. But it's hard to say that sometimes in church. But let's just be aware that there's people who are having a hard time even taking one step forward in 2017. I remember a time in my life when it was really hard to take a step in my faith. I was a junior in college. I was taking my childhood embedded faith and I was trying to make it my own. And in order to make it my own, I was holding some of these core fundamental beliefs that I had grown up with, and I was holding them at arm's length. And I was really examining them because I wanted them to be real for me. I wanted to believe them, not just because my parents and my Sunday school said this is truth. I wanted to know they were truth. And all of the Christian practices that I had grown up with, I was holding at arm's length and I was asking, are they real to me? And I remember laying in my bed one night in my dorm, looking up and it was dark and just thinking, I don't even know how to pray, God. I can't even pray right now. It was hard to even take a step. Young adult years can be difficult. College years can be difficult. I know that. We need to give the grace and the love for wherever people may be at in their journey. I wasn't able to take that step, but you know what? I had a community around me that was able to hold me and carry me. My family. Even in the midst of some of my questions, they held me and they carried me and they continued to love me. My college professors continued to trust that God was at work, even as college students are asking really hard questions sometimes about who God is. They continued to not say, you need to get it all figured out right now, but rather they had this just posture of God loves you. Don't forget that story that you're a part of, even in the midst of the questions that you're holding right now. And so I felt like I was being held even when I couldn't take the next step in my own faith formation. And we have that very image here in this text in Isaiah at the end. He lifted them up and carried them all the days of old. God will carry you when you can't take the next step. We will carry one another as the body of Christ. That's what the church is about. We carry one another when it's hard to take the next step. Whatever that might be, we carry one another and God carries us. It was no messenger or angel, but his presence that saved them. God is with us, even when we don't know how to take the next step. As we look forward to 2017, as we look back and remember, and as we step forward into a year of spiritual growth. As we were at our last leadership team meeting, one of the things that came out of that time was we said, what if 2017 is a year of spiritual growth for us? We're really service-oriented, which is beautiful. I love the way this church is looking into the community. Let's keep that up 110%. But before we do that, let's remember first and foremost our own spiritual growth and formation in Christ that can empower us to continue to be the service-oriented people that Whitmer Heights is. Let's make 2017 a year of spiritual growth. A year of spiritual formation in Christ. A year of stepping forward in what God has for us And if it's hard to take a step in spiritual formation right now, I want you to hear from me, it's okay. It's okay. We will continue to walk together. And maybe we can even carry one another. As we look back and remember the story we're a part of, let's take a step forward as well. Here is to 2017, one step at a time. Amen.